This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Happy Cross Country Day, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Coach Jen, the Jamie Jennings analog for this morning, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 8th, episode 1489, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Buenos días. Están escuchando Caballos en la Mañana con Jamie, Glenn y Jen, la estación más divertida para todos los caballeros en el mundo. Buen día.
Well, don't panic, everybody. Jamie will be here shortly. I just got a text from her that said she is having a that girl kind of morning and you will love this story. So I don't know exactly what that means. She said she'd be here in about 10 minutes. And I figure nobody's listening live anyway because it's Cross Country Day. I have it open.
Everybody's watching Cross Country but us, Glenn.
No, I have it open. I was going to watch it during the show. And it isn't. It just hasn't started yet. So Jessica Phoenix is supposed to be first out on course today. She's sitting in 50th place. Apparently, dressage did not agree with her this weekend. But dressage did not agree with a lot of horses this weekend. There were some that we were expecting to do pretty well that didn't, huh?
Yeah, there were. On day two, it was very interesting because it was almost like somebody had put out the word that it was a bad karma day or something. Just a lot of distracted behaviors and disobedient behaviors. Not, oh, they just didn't ride well today. Horses who were spooking at things, or the one guy came through, I forget who it was, on a lovely bay horse. And the first half of the test, the horse was like practically crow hopping the whole time. It was a hot mess. Poor Clark Montgomery on Glenn. Horse came in, halted, and stuck his nose straight freaking up in the air to stare at the crowds.
Well, you know what? Glenn's I got an answer for that. Glenn's don't like dressage. So there you go. Should have named that horse something else.
John Kyle, who was doing the play-by-play, and beautifully, I might add, did mention about them, quote, having some sound issues in the arena during some of the tests. And I read on a blog post that those sound issues were actually things that sound like gunfire.
Well, that'll do it.
I thought they were having trouble with the music.
There was a couple of them that said that they were that sounds caused it to be a problem. And also we have a live blog feed going or Facebook feed going over on the auditors page, and they're going to be chiming in as they watch today too, so we can keep an eye on that. And Allison says she's listening to the show and watching, and JP is out on course Go Canada, but I'm not seeing that. I'm getting ads, so mine hasn't refreshed yet. Oh, here we go. Now it's refreshing, so it should be out there. So it is a cross-country day. There are 33 numbered obstacles, 45 total jumping efforts, 5,840 meters. The horses will go over a distance on an optimum time of 10 minutes, 15 seconds. Everything they were saying over the weekend, and mine's still saying coverage will resume shortly, so somebody's seeing it. We're not. Oh, there she goes. There's Jessica out on course. So thank God we have a good internet connection that we can do both at once. She's coming up. There's one fence that is, they jump through the hole. It's brush, and there's a hole in the brush.
Yep.
Yeah, a keyhole type of fence. And my feed stopped right as she was getting to it. Well, she must have waded through because we're popping out the other side. So, yes. So first riders on course. You know, we're probably going to have some problem with the feed today because we're trying to do several things at once. Thank God we have a good internet connection. But yeah,
if we go off air, everybody, it's because Glenn's watching cross country.
That's right. It's my fault. Well, we William Fox Pitt sitting in first place after dressage. Jennifer actually watched a lot of the dressage this weekend.
I did.
Christopher Burton.
Luckily, I can edit sound files and watch dressage at the same time.
That's right. Of course, William Fox Pitt from England. And Christopher Burton's sitting in second place. And he is... I don't know if that was a big surprise or not. He's number two in the world anyway, so he's doing pretty well.
Yeah, no surprise.
And then Michael Young sitting in fifth place, which was kind of a surprise, but you watched his test, didn't you, with Sam?
I did, and it was a pleasant test. It was a nice test. He did a great job. I think others had a little more brilliance, a little bit more pizzazz. It seemed to me, and this is definitely an outsider, that brilliance is well rewarded. There were some tests in there that were correct, pleasant, nice, but they lacked brilliance. To get these really good scores, the horses really have to come in and kind of wow the judges a little bit. They've stepped it up that you can't just be reasonably accurate. You have to be like spot on. So I didn't get to see all of the tests because I had to every once in a while turn it off so I could do something else. Like, go feed the horses or something, go to the bathroom. But I think some others just stepped it up a notch or three. Yeah.
Very good. Well, I'm just sitting here. We're, I was just watching, of course, so I'm going to be distracted all day. I need to turn that off. So now, as far as teams are concerned, Germany is in the lead by just 0.2 of a point over France. And then Australia is sitting in third, Great Britain fourth, Ireland, and then New Zealand and United States are tied for fifth place. The highest ranking American going into cross country, and I think everybody, from what everybody's saying, it's a very technical course, and we should see some changes in the ranks after this course today, although it seems to be riding pretty well so far. Philip Dutton sitting in 15th place is the top-ranking American right now. And then we have, if we go down the list, we have Lauren Kiefer and Boyd Martin sitting 34th, 35th in that range. Lauren Billy's is another one that we've been following, and she's sitting in tied for 55th place at this point. So that's where we were sitting going into cross country, but all of that will change as the day goes on. And it looks like Jamie's back, so we'll add her into this conversation and talk a little bit more about what's coming up on today's show.
Now Glenn can go back to watching cross country, and Jamie can do all the talking.
That's right. Well, Jennifer, what's
your original plan today?
Tell us what's coming up on today's show, and then we'll get Jamie on.
All righty. Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, we've got a live report from the USF Pony Finals happening right now, I believe in Lexington, Kentucky, and that's where future Olympians are testing their mettle, and hopefully that report will come to us, compliments of Piper Clem from the Plaid Horse. And that's, of course, assuming that the internet is working and the cell phone service is working at the horse park, which it doesn't always. And then next up, Dr. Gordon Chang is going to stop by, and he's going to help us understand detoxification, what it is and why it's important. And then after the break, Leslie from Horse Nation is going to have her official Olympic update. And then wrapping up our Monday morning turnout, Mark Bellissimo himself is going to stop by. He's going to give us the inside story on the Tryon International Equestrian Center's bid for the 2018 World Equestrian Games. Go Tryon! So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you. And Jamie, do we have you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Thank you. What a fun, exciting morning I've had. It's been amazing.
Tell us.
We were just talking about cross country, and we were up, and Jessica just had a refusal. Phoenix on the course. Plus, is there penalties? I can't remember. They were going to change this rule, and I don't know if they did, for knocking over the flags.
I believe if the center axis of the horse goes over, then it's no penalty.
Okay, because there were like several red flags. And she almost had a second refusal, but she has knocked several red flags over. They're going to be busy today in the course setting up
so
flags.
Many skinnies on that course. Oh my gosh.
I know. And it's going to be very distracting for me today. I have to turn this off.
Yeah. Pay attention. Pay attention.
Hi, Jamie. What's up?
You just, You just hate to have a morning like I've had. You know, it's just awful. I haven't had any coffee, but the adrenaline has woken me up.
Oh, were your horses loose at Monty Roberts' farm?
How did you know?
Because that's why you're late to the show. There's only one reason you're ever late to the show. Your horses are loose as there's a coyote eating your chickens.
Oh, yeah. So I wake up. Now, keep in mind, I get up here at 4:30. Okay. So pitch dark, pitch black. That's middle of the night kind of stuff. It didn't start getting light until 6. So 4:30, I wake up and I just like, my trailer is parked right next to the barn, which is right next to the paddock. So I'm super close to the horses. And I just heard somebody trotting. And I thought, well, that's weird. So I walk outside and the pony is in the paddock by himself. He lives in this little paddock by himself and he's trotting. And that is not normal behavior for that pony. He's just exercising. And so I go back and Zeus and Thor's pasture, the gate is completely off the hinges. On the ground. Gone. There's no horse in sight. So I just spent the last hour plus driving 100-something acres of Monty Roberts Farm in the pitch black looking for my damn horses. Oh my God. Is anybody there? Hello?
We lost Glenn. Glenn doesn't know it.
Good. He didn't
know. See, Glenn thinks he's here, but he's not. I'm here and you're here. So you found them? What? Give me the rest of the story here.
Well, you were so quiet. I thought I was gone. So yeah, I drive.
I'm trying to call the next guest, but that can wait. This is much more important.
Well, I'm driving around and of course I walked everywhere, shaking bags of grain, nothing. I got the scoop of grain, shaking it, walking around, nothing. And finally I had to make the call of shame. Debbie, oh, no. Debbie, my horses are out. What do I do? She's like, I'll get dressed and come down. So Debbie and I, for the last hour and 10 minutes, have been looking for the horses. And finally located them and put them in their stalls where they are officially grounded.
No more turnout for those two.
You are grounded. You will go to your room. You will stay here and I have to go to work. And how dare you embarrass me? Now I owe the entire farm boxes of donuts, apparently. So yes. That's what you have to do to pay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So there's just, I mean, you know, my horse is getting out at my house. Like it's one thing, but when you're at Flag Is Up Farms and you're driving around like a total jerk. And of course I see movement. I'm like, oh, there they are. Oh, it's a deer, you know, cause they're
everywhere. It's the deer. So where did you find them?
Yeah. Where were they?
Just roaming around near one of the pastures eating grass. Of course, but
so did they just crash through the gate?
There's a big sand pit right in front of the gate, and I think probably what happened, the way that the gate was lifted, because there's grass out there, there's no reason for them to. They can't even get their head through it. I think one of them rolled too close, probably got stuck under it, and Yank pulled
it up.
Yeah, and then it collapsed.
Who has the bruised shins to show for that?
You know what? I stuck him in their rooms and I said, I don't care. You're all walking. I'll see you later. I have to go to work. I didn't even run a hand down their leg. I'm like the worst mom ever. But
well, if they were squirting blood, you would have noticed.
Yeah. There was no blood. Everybody was sound at the walk. So we're good to go. And I thought they would sleep all night after the day they had yesterday. My gosh, I wore them out. So I just can't believe it.
Well, we talked a little bit about the Olympics. I'm assuming you didn't get to watch much over the weekend.
I have no TV. I've seen nothing. I watched Star Wars last night for the first time on Redbox. That's all I do.
You picked a bad 2 weeks to go. I'm just saying.
I know. I didn't know there was the Olympics. I'm missing everything.
Well, we are we're keeping an eye on the. I am keeping an eye on the feed here. If I do disappear every once in a while, that's because I'm just watching and not paying any attention to you.
Is that NBC.com?
Yeah. Don't you do it. You don't have enough bandwidth.
Oh, good point.
You won't have enough bandwidth. We're going to have to get to our first guest here, but sorry for the delay here. I just wanted to... I have a quick daily Winnie I do want to give.
This track.
Oh, I can't do that. I got to turn the sound off on the Olympics or they'll see
me. Turn the Olympics off. You can't watch and talk at the same time. You're ridiculous.
My Daily Winnie goes to the Draft Horse Journal. Remember last week with Thursday, we had our first episode of the Draft Horse Show here on Horses in the Morning with the Draft Horse Journal and Lynn. Well, I just took a quick look at one of the sources for my numbers this morning. And just with one of the sources, I have like three sources that we track all the different numbers. It's the most listened to Tuesday or Thursday episode in the last 2 months. So congratulations to them. There are a lot of draft horse people that want to hear about draft horses is all I got to say.
That's so awesome.
Yeah,
well, congratulations.
Yeah, so that was good. And we are now going to switch gears from the Olympics a little bit and go out and talk. Well, actually, I mentioned that we had a new show with the Draft Horse last week. We have another new episode coming up, a new weekend episode coming up later in the month. We'll talk about that. But first, we have to talk about pony finals, and that's where the future Olympians are made. And we are talking to Piper Clem of the Plaid Horse. Hey, Piper.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, are you on location?
Yep, I am at the Walnut Ring. Today is kind of a warm-up day, so they let the ponies flat around the Walnut Ring. So there are probably 35 ponies in the ring right now just hacking around.
Oh, wow. You're at the Kentucky Horse Park, which is where they hold the USEF Pony Finals each year. It's a six-day hunter-jumper championship event with, what, hundreds of ponies?
Yeah, there are about 800 ponies on site right now. To compete or get sold or yeah.
Is it cuteness overload? I mean, just
it is.
Just cute ponies everywhere.
There's cute ponies everywhere. Each one that walks in is nicer than the last. The quality is overwhelming.
What are you seeing mostly as far as breeds of ponies?
Most ponies are still Welsh crosses of some sort. You know, there are not too many completely purebred Welsh in the Pony Hunter Ring. A lot of them do have crosses, but most of the ponies showing here are still bred in the U.S. There are a few European ponies, but it's still a relatively small percentage.
Okay, and now it's not just kids, right? It's adults too?
This is all kids. Adult is allowed to ride any pony on the showgrounds all week long. So they have to get their ponies ready themselves and be pretty independent this week.
Up to what
That's
age?
Cool.
So 17 and under.
Okay. And Jennifer,
the small pony.
Yep. You're seeing that there's one Mustang too?
The young gal that has that little Mustang pony, did she come again this year?
Yep, she's here this year and she's already qualified for next year too. So.
Wow.
I caught her hacking around the field yesterday.
Cool.
Yep. So it's a large pony Mustang. They did the Green Pony Hunters last year and were wonderful. And they're doing the regular larges this year.
That thing will be out roaming around loose from the horse park any day.
They're not all like yours, Jamie.
What's one place worse to have a loose Mustang besides Flag Is Up? The Kentucky
the
horse park.
Yeah, you don't want your horse loose there. You could be chasing him for about a week. So now what kinds of classes do they do during the 6 days?
So the hunters do a model, which is an in-hand class where they stand them up for confirmation and jog. They do an under saddle, and then they have one jumping round. And then they're also pony jumpers, so they do a number of jumper classes over the course of the week. And those jumps for ponies are huge. They can go up to meter 20. So those are very large fences for ponies to be jumping. So it's very exciting competition. And then on Sunday, they have the pony equitation finals, the USEF Pony Medal. And so then that's all equitation this coming Sunday. So
well,
a little bit of everything.
Piper, I have to. We have breaking news here. We're also watching the Olympics cross country during the show this morning, and apparently the number three rider, the Irish rider, was eliminated on a rotational fall. We hope they're okay. The horse came up limping, so we don't know more than that at this point. They said it was going to be a tough cross country over there, and I think that's going to turn out to be true. Well, you won't have cross country this week over there. You're going to be jumping in the big arena. Those ponies and those kids going into the, will they use the big arena at all?
Yep, they use a walnut ring, which is on a pony, a huge ring. And actually, the Mustang just walked into the ring to flat that we were talking about, and he looks pretty quiet and sleepy. He's just walking around on a loose rein, so he looks ready to go.
And it must be bumper cars in there with 30 horses at once.
Not when they're ponies. They've all got, 100 square miles in that huge arena. That's crazy. I didn't think about that.
That's funny.
Pretty much. They don't let them jump. They only let them flat in there. So it's pretty tame.
Good.
The jumping in the small rings is when it gets pretty hairy.
Yeah, because warm-up rings can be hairy in the first place at jumping events.
Yep.
Well, now, we have also special exciting news that I have not announced yet, and that's Piper is going to be hosting her own episode of Horses in the Morning, a special weekend episode, kind of a magazine episode. You are the owner of the Plaid Horse, which you sent me several copies of, and Jennifer and I have been reading all weekend, by the way. Thank you for that. And what a fun magazine. What do you plan on doing on the show?
We're going to do regular coverage. We have the Plaid Horse as a vendor spot with some of our friends. There's a huge vendor circle up by the Walnut Ring next to where the ponies show. And we'll have coverage in the September issue and also on the PlaidHorse.com and all of our social media.
No, what I meant is, what are you going to do on our show when you're hosting later in the month?
Oh, sorry. we're going to interview some people at Pony Finals, and we're going to do a little bit. We are the title sponsor for the Horsemanship Quiz Challenge, which is a USHAA online horsemanship test that has a national finals that's in person. And so we're going to be doing a little bit of a trivia quiz based on that. And interviewing some people around the horse park this week, and talking about what's going on in the August and September issues.
Very good. Cool.
That was fun.
And we
can play Are You Smarter Than an 8-Year-Old?
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. Truly, you can play that. And you're going to be the fourth Saturday of every month. And we're looking forward to getting that started this month. So we'll be recording that in a week or two here. And what's going to happen with our weekend, like there'll be a weekend episode this week of our Australian episode. And what's going to happen on the weekend episodes is they will not be live. They will be recorded. We'll put them out on our feed at Horses in the Morning and Horse Radio Network. So you'll be able to listen to them on the app, on iTunes, or any podcast player that you normally use to listen to Horses in the Morning. You'll be able to listen to, and you came up with a clever name for it. Tell everybody what the name of your episode is.
It's the Plaidcast.
The Plaidcast.
Oh my God, I love
that. Isn't that cool? That's
really
a good name.
Clever.
I love that name. So we'll look forward to getting that started this month in a couple of weeks.
Yep, absolutely.
Thanks, Piper. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, so you are still at Flags Up Farm. You finished your training last week, and then this weekend, I saw some pictures of you heading to the beach.
Oh my gosh. I had the best weekend. They just don't get better than this. First of all, I recorded the episode with Monty on Saturday morning for next Friday.
For this Friday show. Yep.
Yes, for this coming Friday.
Yep, the 12th, it'll be out.
Glenn's going to have to put it all together.
It's all done. It's ready to go.
Man, I can't wait to hear it. I want to hear all those answers again. So we took a bunch of listener questions, and I sat and talked with him. And then he started asking me a question, and then I started crying. And that's all recorded.
That had to be the last thing in the show, is hearing you cry. Everybody's going to be crying, and they're going to end the show going into the weekend crying. Just
I wasn't. It won't choke anybody else up, just me. I'm a mush. So he gave me, after I turned the mics off, he gave me some more advice on how to fix Thor. Because Thor has he's a bolter. He started out life as a bolter. And you know what Monty said, he's like, those are the horses that people sell and sell and sell, and they go to Mexico. So he's like really proud of me for sticking with him. And of course I couldn't have done it without his help. So he gave me some more advice, because Thor now, he doesn't bolt, but you ask for a trot and it's like super forward trot. And then you ask for a canter, and the canter transition is a gallop transition. And then you have to like circle until he slows down. And he gave me some advice on how to fix that. And just I've been working on this horse for a year and a half, and in 10 minutes, I figured it out. Well, I didn't figure it out. In 10 minutes, Thor had figured out what Monty told me to do with him, and it was just incredible. So just so our listeners are going to go, what did he tell you? When you go to pick up the trot and he blasts off like that, just make a half circle back to the fence and stop him at the fence. Boom, right in front of it. Ho.
Same thing then, we're taught to do when they bolt in a cart is point him towards something solid and...
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Pray.
But
yeah.
This one is make it, you do it really quick. Like when you go to blast off, like I went to the corner of the arena and I'd pick up the canter and just bang, run him right into the next fence. And he says that they just won't find any value in blasting off like that. And oh my gosh, after 10 minutes, he's got it sorted out and I'm working on leg gilding, half passing. And
so the theory is he learns that when he takes off like that, when he baby bolts or full bolts, that nothing good is going to happen. He's going to end up pointing it at a fence at a stop.
Hey, your choice, dude. You want to get back to that fence that quick. You know, and not that he's bolting, because he's just... What's hard is that when you ask for a canter transition, you ask for the canter and they jump into the canter, you don't want to punish them for cantering.
Right.
And so
was the goal.
Yeah, the goal is to canter. He just didn't understand how fast to canter. So I'd never wanted to like have a wrestling match with him as soon as he canters, because then you're saying, hey, don't do what I just told you to do. So you kind of, if he blasted off like that at that canter, instead of me pulling on, we just pull that right rein and loop right like a little half circle back to the fence. Ho, stop at the fence, back up a couple steps, turn around, canter off again. And eventually, after like the fourth time, he's like, this is hard. No hurry. Why hurry? And every time he would make a nice transition, I would just let him canter on for about 10 steps and just bring him back to the walk. And he was like, oh, that's way better than getting my nose smacked up against a fence. So you kind of use their energy against him, I guess, his exuberance against him. So that's good. That was such
he's going to be a rock star dressage horse someday. He really
is.
Yes. With that kind of bump into his gait.
Yeah. Can't jump his way out of a paper bag, but by God, he's going to be a nice dressage horse. And then... I did the same thing with Zeus. I did a little bit of those exercises, and Zeus and I were practicing canter half passes and flying lead changes. It was just like this one. I mean, to have a giant arena with perfect footing is super nice.
That makes a difference, yeah.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. So that went really well. And so then yesterday I had some friends that were at the Mustang auction. I met them up at the Mustang auction when I bought Zeus in Carson City, and we've all become Facebook friends, and they live in Northern California near San Francisco, and they drove down to see me and visit me. So they came down on Saturday evening and we took the pony, Zeus and Thor all to the beach yesterday, and it was about an hour and a half away. Debbie recommended this place, and oh my gosh, just absolutely incredible. It was so beautiful and so perfect. The weather, I was cold. Like I had to have a long sleeve shirt on because that's me. The California girl.
You're still not used to the California weather, huh?
I'm like always freezing. So we get there, we're going around and Brink take the horses off and they're all great. But then we realize that like the girth for the pony, the woman, my friend, she's really tall, but she's very skinny. She's going to ride the pony and we couldn't get the girth tight enough. So she slaps. There's no girth for that pony. If you're an adult, you know, you have to have like a 6-inch girth. So she rides him in a bareback pad. Semi loose bareback pad. And this is up and down sand dunes, super tall, high, and then straight down. And we got him down to the beach after it's probably at least probably a good half hour, 45 minutes to get down to the beach. So the horses were quite quite tired because you're walking in sand the whole time.
Deep sand, Now, did you notice a difference on the initial reaction between Thor and Zeus, one being a wild horse, officially he was wild, and the other having been born in captivity? Was there a real difference there?
Their personalities.
How they reacted when they saw the ocean?
You know, both of them were scared because it was high tide. The pony didn't care. He's like, whatever, I'll roll around in there. But it was high tide. And so it was really coming in, coming in, coming in. And it was really frothy. And you don't think about things like that, but the beach was super frothy. So the waves that were coming up were white, white mm-hmm. foam. And oh my God, that was terrifying. I did. The girl who was riding Zeus didn't even really try. She's ridden on the beach before. She's just kind of hung out, and the pony really didn't care, but I was going to get in the water. So apparently if you walk into the water and the horses are looking down and the waves come up, they can get dizzy. Did you know that?
I've heard that. I've never seen any scientific proof to that effect, but that's what people claim. Yeah.
Yeah. Debbie just said it's vertigo. So you have to turn them sideways and kind of go in back side to side. I didn't even really know, or back them in, which is kind of what I tried to do. And I was waiting for this perfect wave that I could just back his feet gently into. You know, we weren't going to be able to go swimming. It was too rough. But just to get his feet wet and go to back him in. So I'm waiting for this nice wave where I can back up about 5 feet. And oh my God, this huge comes running up the beach. Envelops Thor.
Did you do a capriole?
Oh my God. It was exactly like if you had a still shot, it would have gone viral. It was that beach picture of oh my God, my feet. And I was sitting on him, and it's like the water came up around his legs and then started to go backwards. And it just hit him that he was surrounded by white foam, and he just leapt sideways into the air, did a capriole, then a levade, and got out. The picture that we got was the split second before. I wish she would have videoed it, because what I felt like, he was stumbling to the right and I felt like he was getting dizzy. It was a very bizarre feeling to have with your horse.
Wow.
Yeah, but we got wet.
Cool.
And I got a picture.
Yay.
That's all that matters.
The pictures were great, actually.
Yeah, they turned out pretty cool.
No, you got some really good pictures with the ocean in the back and everything. Yeah. One of those you should blow up. I really like the one.
You have to tell me which one. Jennifer, I couldn't hear you.
That's my favorite.
Which one?
The picture where he's kind of scooching his little hiney. It's the picture that's a split second after he tried to dump you, or before. I can't tell which. That's my favorite.
I think that was the split second before, and then he was but the really funny thing is where we all got off and walked around, and then my friends, by the way, you can't take a bad picture on the beach with horses. You just can't. So when you say I had good pictures, thank you, but it just was the scene of the day that made it beautiful. But we go to get back on. We have to have a that girl moment. And I was not that girl. I was this morning, but I wasn't yesterday. My girlfriend, Joy, goes to get on Zeus, and she finds a tree stump, which is like a beach log thing. And she goes to step on it, and it's deep sand. And she goes to step on it, and the whole log kind of shifts, and it hits Zeus in
the
leg. And where we are on the beach, but there's a path that went, 35 minutes up to the road. And she falls off. He freaks out. She falls off, and he leaves. He's gone. Gallops away.
I don't want to be that girl.
We're going to need a sounder for that horse, because I guarantee he's like that. And here's this horse, because he's ridiculous. I'm sitting on Thor. We're waiting on the girl to get on the pony, and Zeus just takes off and gallops up the hill and disappears into the dunes. He's gone. And my other friend Allie looks, she goes, "You going to go get him?" Because she's holding the pony, who's starting to freak out. I was like, "No. No, I'm not going to go get him. I don't want to gallop up a sandy hill and try to chase down a Mustang." And I realize there's nobody up there. He's eventually going to realize, and I am not kidding you, it was like a minute to the second he turns around and comes galloping. All I see is him disappear around the ridge. 1 minute later, here he comes galloping back down. What he was doing?
There wasn't another herd up there too.
And it was just, I was like, no, I looked at my watch. I was like, no, I'm not going to go get him. Hold on. Just wait. 3, 2, 1. Zeus. Brum, 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 brum. Where have you guys been? I was all alone.
Now let's wait a minute. Let's connect the dots.
Hey, Jennifer, before Zeus, you do that, hold your thought. We have an Olympic update. Three of the Ken is reporting that three of the seven riders so far are eliminated or withdrawn. Most of them have been having duckouts at different parts. Ken, and the other comment is, do you know Rolex? And we've all been there enough times.
I can't believe you just interrupted us to talk about this.
Well, no, we Jennifer have to do Olympic updates. That takes priority over everything else today. So do you know at Rolex where there's crowds at every single another fall. Ooh, fell right on top of him, too.
He's fine. He's not bad.
Air vest, horse is up. I don't know about the rider. Rider's
air
up.
Vest, they,
not sure who that is.
Yep.
But the crowds, there just are not many. You know how at every jump at Rolex, there's crowds? Here, there's whole sections. Maybe they're limiting where they can go to watch, but that's not good. It's proving to be a tough course so far. Okay, continue.
No, you suck.
Anyway, we're going to send the dog.
Next guest on.
I've got this figured out, Jamie. Zeus is the one that took the gate off. First, he tried to escape at the beach. And then he's trying to get back to the wild. He's channeling his inner wild Mustang.
Saying to hell with you, lady. I'm out of here.
If he was trying to get back to the wild, he would have gone somewhere besides 12 feet away from where he started eating grass. Like, I think he ran the whole farm and like went back to the stall. So let me in the barn. The barn doors are closed. He's like knocking. Let me in. Knock, knock, knock.
Zeus likes the idea of being brave, not so much the actual being brave.
I think, yeah, you're right. He likes the idea of being a wild horse, but he doesn't like being a wild horse.
No, he really likes his food and his grain.
Yeah, he's a train wreck. Oh, my gosh. He's such a management nightmare.
Now, you're there for another week. What do you do this week? What happens this week?
Real quick, let me thank Debbie, because I call her sheepishly and it's like 5:15. I'm like, she's like, hello. You know, I could tell I woke her. I'm like, oh my God, I'm sorry. She's like, no, I'm up. I'm like, you lie. You were not up. So she comes down and helps me driving around, and we're on the phone for the entire 45 minutes looking for the horse. So thank you, Debbie. Today starts the join up clinic. It's a 4-day join up clinic. Aside from join up, I don't really know what I'm going to do. Aside from perfect join up, because it is there's a lot of nuances to it. Excuse me. And then the next couple days is a long lining clinic, which those are the first two things you do when you start horses, really, is the join up and the long lining. And it really corrects a lot of problems, too. So that is going to be my week, is getting really down
and
deep and dirty.
You're going back to the basics this week.
Into it, yeah. Last week was just incredible. It was to see Monty work. I'll be with the instructors this week. I don't think he'll be teaching these clinics. I think he probably will sleep in. So that's what I'm going to be doing.
Cool. And did you see, how did the rest of the group feel? You were in there with, what, about 10 people, 10, 12 last week?
Oh, my gosh. It's life-changing for everybody. Like our listener, Kimberly, was sending me text messages yesterday. She bought the Dooley halter and she was asking me if it looked like it fit. So we're all super excited. I mean, you can't leave here and not be inspired and want to go play with your horse. You know, I was the lucky one who got to go play with them. All these girls who were like dying to go home to mess with their horses. So, you know, you learn new stuff. You want to get out and practice it immediately.
Well, good. I'm glad that worked out. Cool. I know it's been fun seeing all your pictures.
Another question. Yeah. Are all three ponies staying with you for the whole run?
Well, yeah, the two Mustangs will stay here. They're staying with the pony. They're all right there, and I'm doing all the feeding and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the pony is now officially in training here with the certified and students of Monty's.
Oh, how
that
fun.
Here.
Not for the pony, but for everybody else.
Yeah, no, not so fun for the pony. You know what? I got to say, it's not fun for the pony being schooled and everything, but he is a different horse. He is a totally happier horse. It's insane. Like, he just has boundaries now where he you know, when they constantly test the boundaries and run up against that wall, they don't enjoy that. And so now that he kind of has boundaries, he's so much more relaxed. It's cool. It's really cool. He still has a hard time. He's got a weak hind end and he's, you know, so he swaps a lot and does it crooked and he doesn't move off the leg and he's still a bit of a bully. And you know what? I give him 1 week.
Swapping is a lot better than running you over.
Yes. Yeah.
Give me a horse that swaps leads and doesn't run me over.
You had some great pictures of him bucking in his sessions last week. He gets some air, that little pony.
I brought a monster. We'll see what I leave with. So far, he's turned.
Now he's owned by somebody else, right?
Correct. He is owned by some of my clients. They bring him over for lessons every week. And I don't think I realized just how naughty he was, because when I see him, he's tacked up in my arena.
Well, they have to appreciate the fact that he's getting all this training. That's kind of cool.
Oh my gosh, they are so excited. Although it rained the other day in Phoenix, and his owner is 9 or 10, and she says to her mom, her mom texted me, "Mom, the reason that it's raining is because God is crying that Hogan's gone." Her pony, could you be more dramatic? God is not crying rain because your pony is not at your house. But that's a 10-year-old and a pony, and every pony deserves a little girl. They just need to earn it. They need to behave.
Well, I just wanted to tell you, Tim Price just went down.
My gosh.
Another one down.
He just slipped in the mud.
Has anybody finished?
Yeah, there's been a couple that have finished, but the rider, Sandra Offroth, is that how you say her last name?
She was from Offroth? Yeah.
No, she was in eighth, and she had refusals so far. She was sitting in eighth place. This is turning out to be one hell of a course.
Well, they're really pushing the pace because of the time.
It's only 10 minutes. The time's really short. I thought.
Yeah, but the speed at which they have to gallop is very fast.
Right.
And you combine that with all those technical questions, and boy, oh boy, if you have a horse that wants to get into an argument with you and you take him up on it, you're SOL today. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, it's. I wish I could see it, because then I could be as distracted as Glenn.
I'm listening. I heard every word you said.
Jennifer, thank you for talking to me, because I would be talking to a wall.
Yeah.
To
Glenn's busy.
She made me sit through some dressage over the weekend. Ugh.
Yeah. All of the horses are staying at Flag Is Up Farms throughout your 2 weeks.
Correct.
With you.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I didn't know if somebody was going home early, because they're all staying at camp for the whole 2 weeks. Okay.
They're all here. They're stuck. And when the pony was used last week, he's not going to be used this week, which is why he's going into full training for the week.
Because now that he's got an inkling of his skills, he needs to stay at it and practice those skills for a little while.
Life has changed for that little guy.
Well, now the important question is, did you dance with the guy you posted a picture of the other night at the bar?
I did not dance very much.
Let's describe.
First of all, I'm exhausted, but I'm sitting on the patio of the Maverick Saloon. It's kind of world famous, and the classes tend to go there one of the weekend nights. So we went on a
Friday
night.
That's where you danced with the 90-year-old last year.
Yes, exactly. They did not have the live band. They had a DJ. So Friday nights, apparently, usually we go on Saturdays, or we did last year. So I didn't know Friday night was like a techno night or whatever. So we're sitting outside on the patio, and I'm looking around, because one of the girls is like on the hunt for a husband here. So we're like checking out very vocally on the hunt for a husband. Like, I would like a husband. She was from Hungary, and she's like, "I would like a husband before I leave." I'm like, okay.
She wants to move to the United States or what?
Yeah, I guess so. We're looking around for dudes, and I turn around, and like, that's just what he chose to wear out on a Friday night, was a guy in total full-blown dirty overalls with a camouflage hat with like a big old chew in his mouth.
He was your typical redneck right there.
But I'm in Southern California, for God's sake.
They have rednecks everywhere, Jamie.
I guess.
You're not. Did you remind you of home in beautiful Georgia?
It took me right back to Georgia, y'all. Yeah, it was pretty impressive. The talent on a Friday night at the Maverick Saloon is pretty impressive. Yeah. We're fighting. We're holding people back.
There were no fighter pilots there, I assume.
It just seemed to me like they got off the tractor and came straight to the bar, which is great.
It is called the Maverick Saloon. I mean,
it's a saloon. But, for my friend who's looking for a husband, I was like, yeah, I don't really see
anything. This is the best that the United States has to offer. Take
your
pick.
Here you go. Welcome. from Hungary. We're going to take you out to the fancy. Oh, wait, no, this is pretty terrible.
And I got to tell you, watching Olympics all weekend, watching, I was trying to watch different sports. First of all, I didn't even know there was team handball. And, you know, some of these sports I don't even know exist, right? Until you get to the Olympics every 4 years. And then you'd forgotten they exist. And you're watching them again. The Eastern Bloc countries make some beautiful women. I am sorry. They really do. The Russians and the Ukrainians, and they just make some beautiful women over there.
This girl from Hungary looks like a Barbie doll. It's ridiculous.
They all look like that, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a bad place to go. Hey, by the way, I forgot to mention this. When we got done with the trail ride, we were over by the staging area where you're getting the horses, you know, putting them up. I was giving them water. And I look over and I see this guy. His license plate says something, or bumper sticker said something about the Tevis Cup. And I'm like, hey, look at me. I know stuff about the Tevis Cup. I heard you talk about it. So I'm like, hey, did you ride in the Tevis Cup? And he's like, yeah. I go, like 2 weeks ago? He goes, yeah. He goes, this is my Tevis horse.
Oh, wow.
And his name, I come to find out, because I was like, I remembered him because he was the one that rode the Appaloosa Cross.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember we were going through the breeds? And I was like,
we might have had him on the show.
His name is Jeff Herten, H-E-R-T-E-N. And he finished 51st, and he was riding an Appaloosa Arab. And it looked like an Appy. I didn't think there was much Arab in this thing. It looked like an Appaloosa. It was really cool looking horse. But he and his wife are there. And of course, he's like, yeah, she didn't finish. Not like a jerk, but it was kind of like, yeah, I finished. So I took my picture with him. So I'll email Jennifer the picture, and if she wants, she can post it.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah. And he was like, how did you know that I was in the Tevis Cup? And I'm like, your bumper sticker.
He thought he was really famous.
Like, I recognized him. Not your bumper sticker. I said it quietly. But I was like, I'm a huge fan. It was really cool, though.
Well, why don't we talk to Dr. Chang? Boyd Martin just headed out on the course. So after Dr. Chang's done, we'll give you an update on how Boyd did. First American out there. And
bless his heart. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck, Boyd. Going to need it today, I think.
Well, good morning, Dr. Chang. How are you?
Good. Very good. Nice and warm in Toronto. Probably not as nice and warm as where you guys are, but we're experiencing a huge heat wave in Toronto these days.
So Fahrenheit speaking, what is that? Do you speak Fahrenheit?
I don't know. We speak centigrade up here, unfortunately.
Right. Okay.
And I forgot my conversions. it was roughly about 30 degrees with the humidity, so it felt like about 35, 36.
Yes,
that's almost 90 here for those that want
nice and toasty.
Yeah. You know, you should save bottle some of that for when you have 10 feet of snow this winter.
Hey, we live in Toronto, the banana belt of the north. We don't get 10 feet. We get 2 inches sometimes.
Okay. All right. Banana belt of the north. I never heard it put that way before.
I've never heard that either, but I love it. He's in that area. So Dr. Chang, let's see. We are going to talk to you today about detoxification. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, so what is detoxing and why is it important is kind of our theme of the day.
Well, the thing about detoxification, if you look at it in general terms, is basically getting rid of toxins that have built up into your body. So be it your horse, your dog, your cat, or yourself. Okay? Now, through normal living, the hormones that your body releases have to be gotten rid of, broken down and gotten rid of. As you walk down the street, you take an extra deep breath, you get all those car fumes coming into your system. That's another source of toxins, right? You eat your food, there are certain toxins that you pick up from the food. So in the environment, you get that. Now, with your horses, you know, at least with the humans, if we, let's say you bite into an apple, you would have washed your apple, so you would have gotten rid of a lot of the surface toxins, right? Very few people actually take their hay, rinse it out 5 times, and then give it to their horse, right?
Wow, I never thought of that.
So, right, and most of the hay, as you know, it's grown in a field, where they may not actually spray anything on the fields, but, you know, Farmer Tom up the road is planting soybean. you know, and in order to get a nice good crop of soybean, he sprayed some pesticide on the soybean to kill off the pest. Next thing you know, you get a nice dump of rain. It drains all into your hay fields. So you end up getting some of it there, right? And that's just one of the sources. You have, you know, the car drives by, it's spewing stuff out, ends up on the hay, etc. Now, horses have been designed by Mother Nature to be very tolerant. It's like us. We're very tolerant of impurities, etc. But it's like anything else. It can only take so much. It builds up into your system. Now, the body has natural, normal ways of getting rid of these toxins, right? Mm-hmm. That's why God invented the liver. The liver is one of the major ways of breaking down certain chemicals and toxins to be excreted into the environment, back into the environment. But just like anything else, it's what comes in will be equal to what goes out. But sometimes if you live in an environment where you have more coming in that can be put out, you get a buildup in your system. And one of the reasons you do a detoxification process is that you try to get rid of as much of the toxins as you possibly can, mm-hmm. right? There's no magic about detoxification. It's basically you have to work with the system that the body has. For example, if normally your body can, say, get rid of a bucket full of toxins a day under normal conditions, a detoxification process basically inspires or puts your detoxification organs into overdrive. So instead of producing one, getting rid of one bucket of toxins, you can get rid of two buckets of toxins, right? But if anytime you do the detox, you also stress out the organs, right? So I use my analogy by saying the detoxification process is like running, is like having a factory. Your organ systems are like a factory. Under normal conditions, you have a staff of 8 people, right? You work the machines, you get rid of a bucket full of toxins. So when you want to detoxify, what you would do, you'd hire another 4 people, right? So you increase your production. But when you hire 4 extra people, you also produce more heat. And if you produce more heat, the equivalent to this in the body is that you increase your free radical load on the organ system. So you have to make sure that you have antioxidants which will support the organ system. So in the case of my factory analogy, the free radical production would be an increase in the heat formation of this process. And if you want to get rid of that heat, extra heat, you've got to increase your air conditioning capacity. So this is basically the idea. So with a detoxification regimen that we do, the product has ingredients which will increase the metabolism of the particular organ that we're looking to detoxify. We also have more antioxidant support for the organ. That's part and parcel of the product that we put together for the detoxification process, right? Mm-hmm. Normally, horses in competition, right, during the competitive stage, they're under stress because, let's face it, they're training, they're being stressed out because you drive them from point A to point B, right? The probiotics is important because they have a lot of bacteria that they pick up, which produces a lot of toxins, which the horses will absorb, right? So because of that, we do recommend a detox probably roughly twice a year, maybe late fall and after competition season, and again, maybe early spring, just before competition starts, right?
So
usually those are good because most people don't want to do a detox during the competitive time of their horse.
Okay, so this is not something you do all the time, maybe twice a year. When you say it's not something you want to do when you're competing, I mean, like, we've all heard about what happens when humans detox. Does this same thing happen to horses? I mean, what happens?
Potentially, it can happen. But the detox products that we put together is very gentle. And I'll use the human picture because most people could identify with the human picture. Because most people think that when you have to do a detoxification, you're sitting on the porcelain throne and you're praying to the porcelain god, right?
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking, actually. Yeah.
It, it's very tough on your system, right? But our philosophy at Omega Alpha is as follows. All that toxin didn't get into your system overnight, so there shouldn't be any reason you can get rid of it overnight. And to be fair, sitting on the porcelain throne and praying to the porcelain gods does not get rid of all of your toxins overnight either. It just makes you feel miserable. Because if you think again of the factory analogy, and I use the liver as my factory just because it's a major organ of detoxification that does biochemical processing, okay? When toxins come into your body, right, if there's an overload of it, what do you do with it? If there's too much material coming in that the body can't handle, the first thing you do, you put it into the storage section of your factory. So you put it into a warehouse. Now, when the warehouse gets full, where do you put it? You stick it into the passageways and so on in your factory. When that gets full, you start putting it into your processing room, right? Now, hopefully we never get to the stage where you fill up with so much toxins that you have stuff all in the processing rooms, etc. If you think of an alcoholic, right? An alcoholic would be somebody, they can go for years drinking without having a problem with their liver. And then all of a sudden, boom, they go see the doctor. The doctor says, hey, you have cirrhosis of the liver, right? Now, what happened with something like that, the analogy I use is that the process of getting rid of that alcohol, I mean, this is a very simplified version, okay? But what I'm basically saying is that a lot of that material starts getting into the factory rooms of the processing rooms. And then all of a sudden, the efficiency drops because, you know, you have no room to move around. And so instead of you being able to process, say, a bucket full a day, all of a sudden you're down to half a bucket a day. So a regular detox on a regular basis keeps it from getting to that point, right? So the process that we would have there is actually something that stimulates the organ system to increase its ability to metabolize some of the toxins and excrete some of the toxins, right? But it's not necessary that you pray to the porcelain gods or sit on the porcelain throne for that to happen. Right? So it's a very gentle process. So, but what is like anything else? If you're doing a detoxification, it does take metabolic energy to get rid of some of those toxins, right? So that's why we try to suggest you do it post season.
Okay.
I hope my analogies were making sense.
Well, I was just glad to hear it wasn't like it was before you go for a colostomy or something, because then it was just like, that's what I had pictured.
Well, no, I mean, I feel like...
Because I don't want to clean that up after the horses either. Sorry, Jamie. Go ahead.
I feel like Dr. Chang must have had 4 or 5 cups of coffee this morning. I don't even have any questions. I mean, that was as thorough an explanation. And obviously, it's something that you're pretty passionate about. So are you drinking the product too? I mean, did you have them this morning?
I probably do about twice a year that I do a detox. Sometimes I do 3 times a year, just depending on how miserable I feel sometimes.
Now, can I ask you a question with that detox? Do you also change what you eat at the same time?
You know, to be fair, I'll say this. If you change what you eat all the time, you should be doing this on an ongoing basis, not for the period of time that you're doing your detox. Because let's face it, you're taking a lot of toxins in all through the year. So for you to stop eating your favorite toxin, all right, for a period of 2 weeks, really doesn't do much for your toxin load. You know, it is going to help, don't get me wrong, for 2 weeks. You just minimize your intake for 2 weeks. But if you've been doing it for 50 weeks and you just took 2 weeks off, really doesn't help the situation, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Okay.
Right?
Dr. Chang, because we're running out of time, what is your product that we can do this detox with?
Well, one of the things I was going to suggest is that I know during competition, right? There's a lot of issues that people have with their horses. And we have a product called Healthy Horse, which is a combination of our lung flush, our liver flush, Chemex, and also our Immune Plus, which is the immune booster, right? And the reason we put this together is because a lot of people doing competition, first of all, the immunity, it's always a good idea to boost the immune system, because when you truck your horse from point A to point B, you never know what they're going to pick up when they intermingle with the other horses. So this way, it's a one way of making sure your horse is healthy during competition. The lung and the liver detox is something that you can do on a continuous basis, ongoing. Basically, it's a way of getting rid of the toxins on an ongoing basis. And it's not something that you need to shock the system with, because as it's coming in, you're getting rid of it, right? And that Hemex is our blood builder. Right? So that's the one a lot of people use on an ongoing daily basis. But for the specialized detox, you can do the kidney, the liver, and the lung in combination post-season.
That's unreal.
That's one of the uses.
That is the most, I mean, gosh, I don't even know how you'd bottle that. It must just like, oh, it's like the most perfect group of supplements ever. So it's called Healthy Horse, OmegaAlphaEquine.com. You can go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com and find a store locator near you, or find a place where you can get these products. I recommend all of them. Dr. Chang, you guys just do such a great job, and my horses are so happy and healthy, and I just can't thank you enough for everything. And thanks for being a sponsor of the show, and thanks for giving us such an unbelievably thorough... I feel like I need to go take a cleanse. Clean out the factory.
What hurt you?
Thank you, Dr. Chang.
Well, thanks for having me on this morning.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
I feel healthier after I talk to him.
There you go. You should.
I feel like I need to be.
I was just picturing all that poop I had to clean up. That's what I was picturing when he was saying. I was like, oh, I'm not going to put him in the stall.
Oh, I think you meant your own poop. Okay,
No, the horses.
That was a weird visual idea. Thanks.
Horse poop. All right,
what's the Boyd update?
Well, the Boyd update is he did pretty well. He's now sitting, of course, it's early on, but he's now sitting in second place.
Did he finish?
With a 50.9. Yeah, I think he only came in with a couple of penalties.
Oh my gosh, he's super mean.
Five out of the first 12 have either been eliminated or withdrawn at this point, and some of them have huge amounts of penalties. Gemma Tattersall from, Great Britain, she had all kinds of stops and stuff. So that's where we're sitting now. Boyd's looking pretty good, and there's going to be some massive changes after this. You know, even Michael Young might get maybe one penalty.
You watch your mouth. That'll never happen.
Let's bring Kristen in here from Horse Nation. We were supposed to have Leslie this morning, but I think she's busy doing play-by-play coverage for Eventing Nation, right, Kristen?
She is. Yep, and thank goodness she is, actually, because I was just telling Jen, I don't have a live stream. So if it weren't for Leslie live tweeting the cross country for me, I'd be completely...
You know what
a lot of people
are finding out? NBC was bragging about, we're covering every event. You can watch it online. Unless you don't have cable. If you don't have a paid cable subscription or satellite TV, you can't watch it.
Exactly. Yeah, which, you know, I'm like, come on, people. Like, it's 2016. Like, you know, we don't all have cable anymore. So.
Well, they at least should have had an option that you could have bought it. I mean, you know, you could have bought the Olympic package for $10, right? You know, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. I
found it on the Roku, and I was like, oh, this is great. Look at that. And I went to open it up, and it said, yes, please enter your cable credentials. I was like, why would I have a Roku if I would have cable? That's the whole point. So,
I got to tell you.
Maybe by 2020. I'm here in California. I don't know what the hell my cable number thing is. I have no way, and I have no way of knowing. My husband handles all that. Just put the damn thing online and let us watch it. Put some commercials or something.
Well, they are. Oh, they're still doing that. That hasn't changed.
Oh, yes. There will always be commercials.
Matter of fact, I was watching online during Boyd's. They went to commercial. They went to commercial during Boyd Martin. I was like, oh, jeez.
That's a lot.
And if you didn't get to see the opening ceremonies, I don't know if you watched it, Kristen, but the opening ceremonies, there were more commercials than there was show. It was, thank God I TiVo'd it or DVR'd it, because I would not have sat through that. It was 3 minutes and then 10 minutes of commercials.
Show they're cutting out.
Yeah.
What are they cutting that you can't see, or how much shorter is the show actually if you take all the commercials out?
We were watching, I don't know how much you got to watch over the weekend, but the crowds for dressage were less than they are at Rolex. There were not a lot of people there.
Well, I mean, my God, who's going to go to Rio? They've been scaring everybody away from it for years.
Well,
and, I mean,
Partly what happened is the first day they had a nightmare at the security checks. And apparently people were waiting for miles to get into all the events, because all the events, if you watched them the first day, there was hardly anybody in the stands. That's because they couldn't get through security. They apologized profusely the second day and added a whole bunch of extra security. People that had tickets did not get to watch their events because the security lines were so long.
Wow. I mean, I was stuck in traffic for hours when the Olympics were in Atlanta, and I saw the last three show jumps. So I get it.
Yeah, I don't think that's unique to Brazil. That's just a problem the first day of Olympics.
It's an Olympics thing. Yeah.
So have you watched anything here yet, Kristen? You watched your... Well, you couldn't.
No, I'm like completely in the dark. I can't see anything, and I don't know how many, you know, replays and stuff they're going to show later. So, yeah, we're a little bit, you know, I'm going to be flying by the seat of my pants to see what I can find. So, but otherwise, just reading what I can to catch up on what's going on. So,
and as per
a lot of refreshing this morning,
as per the Olympics, you can't show any video. We can't show any video. I'm watching the live feed right now, but I cannot put on the sound. That's against the rule. So I could not play the sound for you right now in that video. That would be
right. Yeah. So,
well, whoever's got some information, give us some dang coverage. What's going on?
Well, there is coverage though on Eventing Nation, right? They're doing a live play by play.
Yes. They've got the open cross country thread. That should be right at the top of the page. You can refresh that every few minutes. Leslie Threlkeld's doing a really good job of that. And if you are on Twitter, then Leslie's running the Twitter account. So she's got pretty much a new tweet sometimes every 30 seconds. She's just taken away. So, so it's probably the next best thing to watching it.
Now, I also have to ask you, Jenny Autry, who's been on the show many, many times, is down there covering it for Eventing Nation Live. Was she in any proximity of the bullet that came through the media tent?
I don't think she was. Okay. I have to go back and find her take on it. I think she was actually down by the ring, I believe, in the mix zone to interview riders. Okay. And one of her friends was like, yo, guess what just happened? So, so she was not in the tent at the time. But, you know, it's funny. I was just sort of running a Google search last night to be like, okay, what are other people saying about the equestrian events? And that's all anyone is saying. No one has any actual equestrian news. Everyone's like, did you guys hear there was a bullet? So that was very scary. you know, I mean, it's like, oh, sure, that's going to be a joke years from now. But, yeah, right now it's, like, very scary. And they still apparently have not figured out where it came from, which is, a little worrying. So,
well, it is a military base.
So
they figure somebody was shooting somewhere on the military base, and the bullet, it must have been going pretty slow because it basically came through the tent and just kind of pittered out and fell to the ground. Yeah. So I don't think anybody was going to get hurt by it, but yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah. Maybe it fell on your head. You know, but.
the Brazilian rider, Marcio Appel, and his horse Iberian Jimen, I don't know how to say any of these, I'm just guessing, finished 2 minutes over optimum time. Two minutes.
Wow.
That's unreal. That is unreal. So we'll have, I can't imagine.
But he was clean.
I don't know. All I know is that Eventing Nation Live tweet says that they ran out of gas and finished 2 minutes over optimum time.
Wow.
Sorry, Kristen. We're here geeking out on we're here geeking out on Olympics today. Can I ask you a quick personal question? You know, we had our first Draft Horse episode last week, and I was telling Jamie earlier in the show that it was popular. It was our most listened to Tuesday or Thursday, our special episodes we do here in Horses in the Morning, our most popular one for the last couple of months. So, how are your big ones doing?
They're doing great. We went for a little drive this morning, just kind of tooled around the neighborhood. So we haven't been doing a whole lot, just, you know, driving around, seeing the sights. You know, they're very safe in traffic. So,
And so remind everybody what they are. They're big Belgians, right?
Yep, they are Belgians. Pretty much just a farm style team. They have a couple of random health issues that prevents them from ever being a show team, but they're great around the farm, Rocky and Randy. So, they're around 12, I think.
And do they each eat a bale of hay a day?
Semi-retirement. Something like that. They're a little picky, actually. When they came here, they were like, "We don't like this hay." And I said, "Well, you guys are going to go really hungry then." So, but they're coming around to our hay, so they're getting better. But yeah, they're on a round bale, and they're just like slowly demolishing all the hay we have. So that's good. That'll be fun. But it was a really good hay year, though. So we're in good shape, fortunately. So.
Yeah, you're lucky. We pay for that kind of hay down here. We'd pay $20 a bale.
We're in a drought now, but the spring was perfect for hay. So we've got hay coming out our ears, which is good.
I figured if I owned a draft horse right now with the price we pay for hay, it would be almost $200 a month just for the hay for one draft horse.
Yeah. Well, I'm very lucky that they're on a family farm. So it's all just one big system. So we do all of our own hay there. So that works out really well for them. So.
Very good. Well, I know we're not talking
so
much.
Kind of become our little farm mascot.
We're not talking much about Horse Nation right now because the Olympics are going on. It's like, but I did notice that Horse Nation figured out because Lorraine actually sat through the opening ceremonies, the whole thing, and there were four equestrians that were flag bearers, one for Qatar, whose name I'm not even going to try and say, one for Morocco, whose name I'm not going to try and say, and then there was a guy from the Netherlands actually had an individual show jumper whose name I'm not going to try and say, but you have a picture of him there, and he looks really grumpy. And then...
he is very serious.
Oh, my God. That is the grumpiest face I've ever seen. And then Chinese Taipei, a girl from Chinese Taipei in individual show jumping, was the flag bearer, too. So there were four flag bearers from the United States.
Yeah, which I think is fantastic coverage.
Or from the world, I mean. Yeah, not United States. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, of course, a great honor for any individual. But yeah, to have that be equestrians and to, you know, I think remind the world that equestrian events are out there and thriving, I think is great coverage for the sport. But yeah, definitely an honor for those individuals. So I was happy to see that.
And of course, going into this morning, the United States is leading the medal count with 12 over China. And then Australia is actually in third place. We're all sitting, though, United States, China, and Australia with 3 golds. And then we picked up more silvers and bronzes than they did. And that's why we're sitting the way we are. But we're in the early days. And I was telling Jamie that I was watching sports I didn't even know existed over the weekend.
That is always the case.
It's like, okay, so I was watching handball. I was watching judo, and I pretty much determined that the guys in judo just kind of dance around and get penalties for stalling. That it was the most boring thing I've ever watched. And then I got to tell you, though, then I was watching the women play judo or do judo, and oh my God, they're vicious. They were going at each other. They had bruised faces and eyeballs, and their noses were all crooked. The women are much more vicious than men. Man, they were going at it.
Anger. I don't know. I could see that, actually. Did you happen to, I don't know if you follow Boyd Martin on Facebook or not, but he has been putting up, this is, you know, before eventing started, of course, but he's been putting up like little videos and snippets around the Olympic Village, and they're just so funny.
Yeah, like, it is funny.
You know, you when a non-horsey person goes to a horse show and they're like, I don't know what's going on, but this is great. And it's kind of like an equestrian goes to somewhere else and he's like, I don't know what's going on, but this is great. So he had a video of like the Indian speed walking team practicing.
And yes. And speed walking. I didn't know anything about speed walking. And I determined the most crazy sport at the Olympics is the bicyclists that do the endurance riding, the 150 miles or whatever. Oh my God, those guys are nuts. They're going up the mountain 2,000 feet.
Crash?
Oh man, they're just nuts. They're going 50 miles an hour down the hills and then take those sharp turns in a group. They're crazy. And then the fans are in the road holding flags up in their faces as they're going by. I was just going, oh my God. All right. Thank you, Kristen. Sorry we didn't talk any Horse Nation, but thank you for joining us today.
Oh, no problem.
And go over to Eventing Nation and you can just keep hitting refresh and follow their live blog coverage there of the cross country that's happening right now. Thanks, Kristen.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Take care. So we are heading next. We're going to be changing gears a little bit from the Olympics to the World Equestrian Games. And we, you know, it was last week when Kentucky sort of bowed out of the World Equestrian Games and said they didn't have time to put it together. And then we were surprised right after that to get a press release. We talked about it here on the show. We got a press release that the Tryon Equestrian Partners and the Tryon International Equestrian Center in North Carolina may be putting in a bid. So I reached out and I asked Mark Bellissimo, who's the managing partner of Tryon Equestrian Partners, to join us today to talk about that, because we all got super excited about the fact that we might be able to go to a WEG here in the United States again. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good. You know, Mark, we did the World Equestrian Games radio show for the 2010. We worked with Alltech and the organizing committee there and everything. So I was kind of in on the whole planning process through the years. And it is a task to put that together. And you've got 2 years to make that happen. You must be confident you can make it happen at this point.
Yeah, no, I think we're very confident, you know, for a number of reasons. And I think one of the unique parts of our opportunity here is, I lied in our press release, is that, first of all, the venue that we have pretty much is capable tomorrow of hosting this game. I'm being a little facetious, but, you know, within a couple of weeks or months or whatever, we could organize. We've got the cross-country course, which would support the driving. We've got a covered arena, which would do reining and vaulting, para and jumping dressage could be handled in the main arenas that we have there. So the infrastructure is already in place. So we spent $125 million, and typically when this event is done, everyone's in a sort of a fire drill to build the place. And I think that draws a lot of the energy and resources away from sort of running the event. And I think with Kentucky in particular, they spent a lot of time, you know, raising money and building infrastructure. And I think in the end, it came up with a great product.
But you're right. It was $100 million and it was a lot of hassle getting it done. And, that was the battle to the end, was making sure all of the venues were done. And isn't that the battle that every venue goes through that, look at Canada, right?
Yeah. And I think that's what ends up happening. So we built this as a world championship venue and facility. I don't know if you've seen the pictures. But it's pretty much, it's got 1,200 stalls, it's got 12 rings, it's got probably one of the finest cross-country courses and driving courses. It's on 1,500 acres, so it's got a big footprint. So that's sort of one element of it. The second element is, you know, the operation and the assets that I own and within our partnership are pretty expensive. So we run the Winter Equestrian Festival in Palm Beach, and that has about 3,000 horses that will compete in a given week. Plus another 500 in dressage. We run the Global Dressage Festival and the Winter Equestrian Festival. So we already run the largest horse show in the world. It's very complex. I mean, it's got hospitality and sponsorship. We've got a sponsor portfolio of about 130 sponsors. And so we have all that management infrastructure in place also in terms of dealing with events. So we've done eventing competitions. We've done dressage and show jumping. So we run big scale operations. And so we have that team in place. So, you know, we have 150-ish full-time employees across our portfolio, because we own Tryon, Palm Beach International Equestrian Center, and the Colorado Horse Park. And so drawing from that team makes it a lot easier, because, you know, most of these other events, you're going to have to go out and hire an executive team 5 years in advance to run the shows. And you burn through a lot of capital and trying to acquire sponsors and building infrastructure and things. So from our perspective, we've got all these pieces in place. And really, it comes down to taking what is a complex event and putting it into sort of the machine that already exists, if you will. And so from our perspective, that's what's sort of exciting about it, is that we can draw from an existing infrastructure with only 2 years to go.
I agree, and I think that's what's exciting. I didn't know you had the indoor, which I knew was required for vaulting and for reining. You know, you have to have those inside, so I didn't know you had that already. The other things that we ran into in Lexington I wanted to ask you about was just infrastructure in the area. Hotels and restaurants and, you know, those kinds of things are important too, to be able to, and roads, you know, roads that can handle it, and parking. I mean, that was a huge thing at Kentucky, was the parking. parking. And I lost my car a few nights in that parking lot. So I you know, I remember that well. What about those things?
Well, one of the things that's interesting is we're on a major thoroughfare. So we're on an exit. And the state is actually working with us right now to fix an interchange that comes right off of that highway. So you're right at the facility. So in a lot of these places, you're going into some sort of back roads and whatnot. This would allow us to have three exits off of that I-74. So we can actually bring people into different areas of what is a very large property, 1,500 acres. So we think because it's self-contained, because the road system, we have an interstate that's 5 miles away, plus this feeder road that is a four-lane road north-south, is that we have a lot of different access points, and which will allow us, I think, to have the traffic flow much more effectively. And we've got a lot of space to park cars and things like that that'll allow the flow to work. And that's a couple of things that we need to do just to refine that and have more entry points. The other piece of it, which a lot of people don't know, is that where it's located is we're about 40 minutes from Asheville, 40 minutes from Greenville, South Carolina, and then about an hour and some change from Charlotte. So we've got about 60,000 beds within that sort of 60-mile radius, which is not insignificant. And we think we can draw from that pool of housing, and I think that's sort of a good feature. The other piece of it is we've got about 300 rooms on site, and we'll be building, and we have it in the plans, and we're actually in the process of doing it now, is we're going to be building probably another 700 rooms on site, which will allow us to, have almost a, self-contained venue for all the disciplines and, a lot of people that can sort of reside on property.
And now do we have any idea, let me rephrase the question. Anything you can talk about what the FEI is saying about when they'll make a decision or time frame or whether there's other people bidding? I assumed Aachen was going to be in the mix, but that was just me guessing. Do you know anything?
Are we going to do it? Is this ours?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. We're all ready.
Hotel room yet?
Hurry up, Mark. Yeah. We're ready.
No, it's complicated. Our fundamental view and the view of the partners was that we were going to try to make sure that this event stays in North America. Fundamental to that is that, equestrian sport needs to be a global sport. I think as it's organized today, I mean, it's much more Eurocentric in that there's a lot more sort of maturity in the sport in those countries. And so, our focus is to make sure that North America can put on a great game.
And to be honest, Mark, they don't like coming over here. And they've made that clear in the WEG. They just don't like coming over here. It's much easier when they can stay over there.
That's true. I mean, it works both ways. And I think we obviously have a lot of North American countries and South American countries and that probably would prefer to be closer to home. But I think in general, I believe there's a great future for the sport. We've invested in a lot of different properties. A firm believer in expanding the footprint of the sport. To have a much greater focus and orientation, in this country. And I think we've had great success, even in Tryon, and we're getting 10,000 people to come to a jumping event in this area, which is consistently on a Saturday night, which is just unusual.
And it's pretty rural. You would expect that in Wellington, but it's pretty rural where you are. So to get that means something.
We get bigger.
Yeah,
we get bigger crowds, but it's almost old-time horse country. I mean, there's horse country from Charlotte to Asheville to Greenville. I mean, it's a pretty big footprint, and it's more like Europe in that way. I mean, you'll drive by and you'll have people with horses in their backyard, or a lot of different people who participate in a lot of different disciplines, and it's much more Middle America approach to it. So there is a rural character to it a little bit. But what's nice about it is with Asheville and Charlotte and Greenville, you're sort of at this in this triangle that has three airports. As a lot of resort destination properties, especially in the Asheville area with the Biltmore State, and there's a ton of family activity, whether it's hiking or whitewater rafting or fly fishing or sporting clays. There's just a lot to go on, and this event obviously is a good opportunity to see equestrian sport, but also to spend time with friends and family and works, you know, and have a little time around the events.
Well,
so I think there's also a rich set of capabilities.
One of the other things, too, that always ends up being an obstacle for potential WEG venues is endurance, because it does require 100 miles in some way, form, or shape. You've got to have an endurance course. And you, I mean, is your initial thought to do that where they already do an endurance race up in Asheville?
Well, the what's interesting is this area, the sort of Tryon area, it has a very rich sort of fox hunting infrastructure. And so there are hundreds of miles of horse trails that spread out over a fairly big area. Our initial thought was to actually leverage those trails from within the property, because it's all sort of interconnected. So you can sort of cross one road and get into that network. And typically what they do is they do loops of, you know, 10, 20, 50 miles. I think we actually have a really unique opportunity to get an endurance course that allows you to sort of start and finish on property. And that's sort of the vision we have for these games, is that there's one central place where you can be in a stadium and all the major events can start and finish there to the extent appropriate. And I think that's interesting. So I think from an endurance perspective, you know, clearly there's an opportunity up in Asheville to do that. But we're confident that we can put together a really great course locally. And that's something that we'll explore with some people over the next couple weeks. My sense is that that this will be resolved fairly quickly. To your earlier point, there's clearly most people get about 4 or 5 years lead time, and there aren't many organizations that have, one, the facility, two, the management organization, three, the capital and resources to sort of step up and raise your hand and say, you know, I'm going to sign up for this with 2 years lead time. But I think that you know, we have that interest. And my guess is this is something that would be resolved within 4 weeks-ish.
Oh, it would have to be, I would think, right? I mean, they got to make a decision here. Yeah, can't wait. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know who else is in the ring. I mean, the only rumor I heard was that potentially Samarin, which is in Bratislava, Slovenia, was another venue that was interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have one more question for you, Mark, if you don't mind me pushing our luck here with your timing. Had the Bromont exit from the list not happened, would Tryon be putting a bid in for a world-class event like the World Equestrian Games, or if it was open for bidding, would you guys have been doing that anyway?
I think we built this venue for championships. Like, we have the American Eventing Championships there in the three weeks. So that's the largest sort of eventing competition in this country. We just had Pony Club Championships. You know, our goal is to make this a sort of a championship venue, because it really combines all the elements you need to pull something together like this. So our view is that, you know, we have the lodge and the hospitality, the equestrian venue, a lot of these resources. So we would start to pursue a lot of these international championships, to answer your question specifically. So would we bid on the 2022? You know, most likely would we. Are there other championships that are international that we have an interest in bidding on? The answer is yes. And I think that this is a very, very good product to provide an experience to spectators that I think would be very favorable and keep them coming back for more. So the more we can showcase the sport, the better off we're going to be.
Well, we appreciate you joining us today. We're so excited, and you have the full support of the Horse Radio Network for what that's worth, and we're ready to gear up the World Equestrian Games radio show again. So save us
great.
A spot in the media tent there with a microphone and an internet connection, and we'll be there.
That sounds great. Thank you so much, Jamie.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Take care.
Thanks, Mark. Good luck.
Bye. All right. Thanks.
Let's hope this happens. I'm ready. It's right up the street.
Did you tell him to reserve our rooms? I think you hung up on him first.
I did. I did that earlier before he got on air. I said, I'm not letting you on the show unless you promise us a room.
We
do have friends, and this is the backup plan, because all hotels are going to be within an hour of this place, because I don't care what he says, it's pretty rural. And you're all going to be an hour away. But we have friends that are an hour 20 minutes away that have a 6,000 square foot house on a lake with a boat and jet skis. So we already warned them that we will be coming with a whole team and staying at their house. So
are you going to jet ski? Because you're going to be out the park. You remember how much you worked last?
Yeah, I know. It was pretty something. But anyway, we have a place to stay, is what I'm saying. We got that covered. We're good to go, Jamie. We're good to go. Press passes, we're there.
Yeah, sure.
We're ready. I don't know. They got
it. It's going to be like the last week where at our house we had people on the couch, on the floor, in the garage.
Yes. And Bob and Melinda will be fine with that. They'll be good with that. We're okay. They'll get some tickets. They'll come watch too.
There we go.
I don't know. Why? What do you think of the chances? I think, you know, they have the infrastructure. One of the biggest things, and I think the reason they got a real shot at getting this, is they already have 130 sponsors. They already have the sponsor relationships that the Kentucky Horse Park didn't have when they started that. So that makes a huge difference. Plus, they are backed by some serious money. They just put $125 million into Tryon there in North Carolina. Not to mention, they just bought the Polo Club in Wellington, which is beside the WEF, the Winter Equestrian Festival. The Polo Club is right beside it. That had to cost $80 million. I mean, they got some serious bucks behind them. If there's any group that can make this happen, I think it's theirs. So I'm hopeful is what I'm saying. I'm hopeful.
Very cool. Hopeful. I think it'll happen.
I'm excited.
This is way more exciting than a presidential election.
Yes. I already bought the name, the 2018 radio show. I already got the name. I'm ready. Let's go.
There's an election going on, Jennifer. Who's going on cross country right now? All right, end the show. I got to go. I'm exhausted. I need more coffee. My horses ran me around all morning, and I didn't get any coffee.
All right. Tomorrow, we will be here with Endurance. We're going to get a complete wrap-up. Yeah, we're going to get a complete wrap-up of Tevis. Karen will be here giving us a wrap-up of that.
Well, tell her that I'm friends with Jeff Hurton, who rode the Appalachian
Cross. Okay, she probably knows him.
I'm sure she does.
I'm sure she probably knows him. So, and then, Jamie, you're going to be back on Wednesday, and then Friday, we have the special event where you got to ask Monty a whole bunch of listener questions. So that's all what's coming up this week.
Just so you know, one of the questions that I asked, he actually said he has never been asked.
I heard that when I was surprised too. When I heard the question, I was like, well, that's not something you hear every day.
That can't be good. That means you got to see the vet.
Exactly. Anytime you ask a question nobody's ever heard of, it's a vet trip. That's pretty much it. All right. We'll see you, Jamie. Thanks.
All right. Spay, neuter, geld. Everybody have a good day.